right. Well, if you'll turn this afternoon to 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, and go down to verse 11. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, that means suffering with Christ, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We'll go into those here in just a moment. I want to speak for just a little bit on the suffering of Jesus. If you'll turn to the 2nd chapter of Hebrews. And let's just begin reading here with the 14th verse. Get all of this in context. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he's talking about Jesus here, he also, that is Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, deliver them who through their fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. And so I want to notice here that Jesus did partake of flesh and blood, as we read here in the 14th verse. Likewise took part of the same, and it was for a purpose that through death he might have destroyed him with the power of death. We have seen so many times that as God, there is no way he could die. And so he came into this world specifically that he might die. And indeed, that was for the purpose of redeeming humanity, taking away our sin, paying the penalty for our sin there on the cross of Calvary. Back up just a little bit to 2 Timothy 2:11. 2 Timothy 2:11. And again, we read this statement. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, that is, suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And what I want to notice here, we are plainly told in this verse that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. But here's what I want to notice. This is an absolute fact, and I'm going to go into a little bit of this in this message. There is no way any believer will ever experience the fullness of what Jesus suffered. We are only going to be able to suffer with him in part. And so I want to enlarge on a little bit of those sufferings that he went through. For example, he was shut out from the presence of God. A believer is never going to experience that. We'll never suffer that at all. He bore the weight of all the sins of humanity from the Garden of Eden to the end of the millennium. We are never going to know any part of that because Jesus bore all of that for us there on the cross of Calvary. He was cast into outer darkness. A believer will absolutely never know what that is. Now, unbelievers are going to discover it for themselves, not because of their sin, but because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not accept the penalty that he paid for them. But it was Jesus who was cast into outer darkness during those hours, those awful hours on the cross, where he cried out, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We read in another place that suffered darkness, even darkness that could be felt. And so this outer darkness means completely devoid of God's light. We'll never, ever know what that was. We'll never know what that feels like. I say again, unbelievers are going to know that in varying degrees throughout eternity, but we will never be able to share in that kind of suffering with Christ. So we can't say that we're suffering with him in that manner. And so he's cast into outer darkness, completely devoid of God's light. This, of course, we can never understand the punishment that Jesus took for the sins of all humanity for all time. You and I will never understand what that was. So we won't see that kind of suffering at all. I want to go back now, if you'll turn to Hebrews 12. I want to go through some of these verses here just to get a little glimpse into the reason that Jesus suffered. And again, keep reminding ourselves that we will never experience not even one little bit of the suffering that he's talking about here when we see these things. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which he's talking about is the sin of unbelief, not any particular sin that a person has committed or anything like that. He's talking about the sin of unbelief. And so, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. And you'll notice who for the joy that was set before him. The joy he's talking about is he looked for the joy at the end of the race. Who the joy that was set before him. This is why he was able to endure the cross, as we'll see here in just a moment. Jesus looked beyond his present circumstance in order to see and to be encouraged by that which was coming. That would be the result. I think of the two that appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's what they were there for, is to encourage him to go ahead and go to the cross and to accomplish what he was supposed to. As a man, it was Jesus could look down because he understood the way. He understood the demands of God, that God had to pour out sin and judgment upon all humanity. And he took that place for us. And so Jesus indeed knew what that was all about. And the way he got through that, the way he got beyond that, is to look to things at the end of the race. And so that's what he means here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And when it says he endured the cross, he is enduring God's punishment for sin. Again, you and I will never, ever get any kind of a feeling or a glimpse of that. Some people seem to think they can, but they can't, because this is something that only Jesus could do, and only he did there on the cross of Calvary. They may not enjoy the benefit of what he did, but they will never, so a believer will never have this kind of suffering. And so he endured the cross, that is, again, God's punishment upon sin, despising the shame. The shame was being made or becoming what he actually abhorred. Jesus didn't just bear sin. He became sin. He was the personification of sin. God looked upon him as that snake writhing there on the cross. And he poured out all of his righteous judgment upon him. And so the shame is being made what he abhorred. And notice he is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Considered him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. This would be their bold denial that he was the Son of God, and their reaction indeed of trying to stone him. These are sufferings that Jesus endured there on the cross of Calvary. And so Paul says, consider that, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And he says this, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That is a reference to Jesus' agony there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was crying out, if there be any other way. And of course, there was no other way. There was only one way to go, and that was to submit to God's plan for him, that he was going to lay on him the iniquity of us all, as the scripture says. And that is iniquity of all humanity for all time, from the Adam and Eve, clear to the end of the millennial period. All that sin, the weight of it, was laid upon Jesus. We know what it is to bear the weight of our own sin when we have done something wrong, but there is no way we can even comprehend or imagine in any measure the fullness of sin that Jesus bore there on the cross. Nor can we understand and know, or will we ever know, the punishment that, and it was punishment that against sin that God poured out upon Jesus in the person of Christ. So you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. No, we have not, and we never will. We cannot enter into that anywhere near the fullness of what Jesus went through there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22:44 says it this way, and being in an agony, and he was in agony as he labored under this decision of going to the cross and experiencing the fullness of what God would pour out in judgment against sin, and indeed himself being cast into outer darkness because of it. So being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, some people may have experienced that, I don't know, but I have never had that kind degree of pressure upon me to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Medically speaking, they say there's a reason for that and all of that. But this is what Jesus went through as he went through this agony, this tremendous rejection by God there on the cross, and not in just the rejection, but his punishment laid upon sin. If you'll go ahead and turn now to Hebrews 2:14, I want to see a little bit more about the reason that Jesus did such a thing as this, in order to accomplish for us the great benefit, the benefit to us of what he did there on the cross, of his suffering there on the cross. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He's talking about the children of humanity, talking about all of us. He didn't just come down as an angel, as some try to say at times, but you will notice, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. That is flesh and blood. And scripture tells us that the life is in the blood. So it means that he took the life of humanity upon himself. That was a come down. There is no two ways about that. But he went lower than any man has ever gone before. And so he likewise took part of the same. And notice the reason, that through death, the only way that he could overcome Satan and death was to die. And of course, God saw that he did overcome both of them by virtue of the fact that he raised him from the dead. He showed in the world and everybody else, no uncertain terms in heaven and earth, and that death could not hold him. Therefore, he conquered Satan with his own weapon. This is the most powerful weapon that Satan ever had, is death. and he held men in fear, held them in bondage to fear all that time for fear of death. And Jesus came on the scene and he suffered death. That means he experienced death. And again, why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. It was not just conquering death. He was going to destroy him that had that is Satan, the devil, that had the power of death. And he did exactly that. Now, Satan has not been put down even at this hour when we're sitting here in this building. But that day is coming. It's just as sure as the resurrection that Jesus has already experienced. And so that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. It is Satan who had that power and held that leverage over all humanity. Verse 15, deliver them, that would be us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now there are those even in our day who fear death because they really have not comprehended what Jesus has done for them. There are many of us who really do not fear death. Some actually look forward to death because it is an escape from the things that we have here. And as the Apostle Paul said, to depart out of this body, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Who wouldn't want that? And that's the hope that we have. So there are many of God's people who have already overcome the fear of death because they look beyond and see things from God's point of view. And they know that if they were to die, if they were, this life pass out of this body, they would immediately be in the presence of the Lord, as Paul says, which is far better. Verse 16, verily he took not on him the nature of angels. Jesus didn't come down as an angel. He came down as a human being with red life blood flowing through his veins, exactly as all of us have. He took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, that is because of that, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. If he is going to help us, if he's going to understand us, if he's going to minister to us and to provide for us, he has to understand firsthand exactly who we are in every sense of the word. And so it says, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, as God, he already understood what God's requirements were, but Jesus had to understand firsthand the needs and the frustrations and the limitations of humanity and the restrictions, all of these things that man, where man could not go. And so that he might, a merciful high priest, things to make pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And those sins had to be taken care of because this is what separated God from man, is the sin of humanity. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You're going to be separated from me. And we find that Eve, Scripture tells us that Adam was in the transgression, but he was not deceived. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. He knew exactly what he was doing when he partook of the forbidden fruit. Well, Adam, why in the world would you do such a stupid thing as that? So he wouldn't be separated from Eve. Same thing with Jesus. He partook that he might not be separated from his bride also. And so these are a part of the sufferings of Jesus, and he did it with his eyes wide open. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he was willing to take that suffering upon himself. And so in verse 18, we read this, in that he himself has suffered being tempted. I say it this way. There is not one thing that men have gone through or ever will go through on this earth that Jesus doesn't understand. He won't understand that. Heard a woman say, well, how about having a baby? Jesus understood childbirth, so to speak, the pain of that as he hung on the cross of Calvary. It went far, far beyond anything that any woman has ever endured. And so in that he himself has suffered being tempted, notice this, it is because of that he is able. He is qualified. He has been down the road, so to speak. He is there firsthand. It's not something someone told him about. He has experienced it. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to help them that are tempted. And indeed, he does just exactly that. And so we say today that with all those sufferings, I'm going to list them, the ones that we have, just a few of them, the sufferings that you and I will never know anything about. We will never, ever, ever understand what it means to be shut out of the presence of God. Never. A believer will never experience that. A believer will never experience the weight of the sins of humanity that were laid upon Jesus there at the cross. And that includes all sin from the Garden of Eden to the end of the millennium. Make no mistake, there will be sin in the millennium. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, just for an absolute fact. Let us understand, Satan will be bound 1,000 years. And so, again, it will be so easy to fake it in the millennium. Men can profess to be a believer. And that's why the scripture says that after that time is over, Satan must be loosed a little season. Why? So he can do what he does best, stir men into rebellion and unbelief against God. And that's exactly what he will do. So those who have been pretending or professing to be believers during the millennium, and there will, I am confident, be many of them, Satan will stir it up to where they were now fully manifest and right out in the open insofar as their sin and rebellion against God. And then, of course, we find out that we are never going to understand being cast into outer darkness. No man will. People who do not believe in eternal life think that that is a possibility, but it is not. It is a promise that Jesus said, that he told one group of people, as bad as you are, I will never, ever blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And so no believer is ever going to understand in any measure this matter of suffering outer darkness the way that Jesus did, being completely devoid of God's light. No believer will ever experience that. And again, no believer will ever experience any of the punishment that Jesus went through as he died for the sins of humanity there on the cross of Calvary. All right, those are my few thoughts for this afternoon. I believe we will sing a closing song, and then we will be dismissed.